Morning, and thank you all for holding. I would like to remind all parties the call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, so please disconnect at this time. And thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's OTS call on Friday, the 2nd of September, we have Carlos Aguirre, Olga Cavalli, Roy Dykes. From staff, we have Julie Headland and myself, Gisela Gruber. I don't have any apologies noted for this call. And if I could please remind everyone to state their name when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olga.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and thanks, everyone, for all the work you have done. You have been very fantastic. We have done a fantastic job with the document. I'm sorry I couldn't participate in the calls. So for the sake of saving our time, and Roy has to leave earlier, maybe we can, Julie, you could help us go through the document and see what the changes are and see if we like them or we have some comments.
Yes, Olga, this is Julie. I'll be happy to do that. We do have the document up in Adobe Connect. So I'll go ahead and get started. I'm just sending a message to Debbie to see if she can join us as well.
Sure.
So we'll see if she joins. So we did have another productive call last week and suggested some changes relating to the recruitment process and making it more specific that the steering committee would be involved in recruitment. The first of those changes happens on page 2, starting with objective 2. The change that I made based on last week's discussion was that the steering committee shall recruit members of the OTF from a broad and diverse group of members, including an outreach effort to seek experienced participants from the ICANN, GSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, and others interested in ICANN activities. Recruitment shall include a forum held at the ICANN meeting in Dakar, Senegal. Now, just a little background, Olga, for you on this particular item, and you'll see some more on recruitment in the document. One of the things that Carlos pointed out was that the recruitment effort, you know, of getting the OTF members is going to be crucial because part of that will be, you know, the need to explain, you know, some explanation of what is GNSO, you know, what is this operations task force, you know, what are its goals and so on. So we talked about wanting to have more time for the recruitment and also to, you know, to really, you know, make sure that the steering committee is putting a lot of effort into the recruitment process. So we changed the timeline a little bit, too, to allow more time for that. One thing I should note now that I'm looking at this, we've got a public forum in Dakar, Senegal, listed in here, and I can certainly I can certainly hold a time slot. My only concern is that if the steering committee is not constituted in time for Dakar or is only just really just coming together in Dakar, then it may be that we use Dakar for the steering committee to start to meet and to start discussing its plan for doing the recruitment so that there might not be a public forum recruiting effort in Dakar, but we might end up using the time for the steering committee to work on its recruitment strategy. And the only reason I'm pointing this out is because sometimes it can take time for the constituencies and stakeholder groups to select who they want to have, you know, represented in, you know, in the steering committee. And if, for instance, the council doesn't do anything on this at its September 22nd meeting, and I know that agenda is quite full, then we might not have all of the steering committee selected by Dakar. So I thought I'd open that up for discussion, and what we might end up doing is saying that recruitment shall include a public forum held at an ICANN meeting.
Julie, why don't we say perhaps we can keep Dakar, Senegal, and or in the case that the documents are not completed by that time, in the first next ICANN meeting, when the charter and all the documents of the OTF are ready, maybe we can open it up for that.
Thank you, Olga. This is Julie. What do others think? Roy, Carlos, any thoughts?
No for me.
Roy?
Yeah, this is Roy. I think I agree. So that's the last week of October, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's really, in essence, it would mean that the steering committee would have to be constituted probably the week before that. So the
yeah.
Week.
Right. And before that, this we'd have to have an approved charter.
Right. The charter would have to be approved, and that would have to happen formally at a GNSO council meeting.
Yeah, right.
With a motion, precisely.
Right. Right. So I think this gets into the sort of mini email thread that I started the other day, because I was on my regular registry stakeholder group call on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and they were mentioning that something like this would go through the stakeholder groups before it went to GNSO.
Yeah, and that I think is a good possibility. I mean, I was thinking, and well, let's discuss that. I mean, I think that what we could do is have Olga give Stefan a heads up that we now have a version that we can, you know, submit to the stakeholder groups and constituencies to consider. And if he agrees, we could just go ahead and do that. I don't think that requires a council motion. That does save us some time of not having to wait until the next council meeting on the 22nd. Although, depending on how frequently the constituencies and stakeholder groups meet, they might not have, you know, we still might not have an approved version or all their comments back in time for the 22nd of September. But I think, you know, we could get the process going earlier.
Right, right. And that's what came up in my meeting on Wednesday relative to the calendar, which is why I kind of sent them. In fact, I think I was sending that mail to this group during my call.
Ah, I see.
After I heard that from the call's chair. So, sort of playing it back to make sure I'm understanding. So if we're in a position now to send this to the stakeholder groups, the other question I have is, besides the registry and the registrar stakeholder groups, are there any other groups that would need to see this and have an opinion on it before it went to GNSO?
Oh, definitely. Yes. We need to send it to the full complement of the constituencies and stakeholder groups. So that would include also the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial stakeholder group.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the commercial stakeholder group would be the intellectual property constituency, the ISP Connect, ISPC constituency, the business users constituency, and I can't remember if there's one more. And then the commercial stakeholder groups also has two parts to it. And so each of those constituencies would have to see this as well.
Okay. So let me ask another question. Is the next GNSO meeting after September 22nd the one that would occur in Dakar?
Let me just check the meeting schedule, and that's a very good question, too. I was wondering that myself today, so let me look at the calendar.
Because as you're looking, what I'm thinking is, if we're ready now or sometime next week to send the draft that we have to these constituency groups, and I don't know, maybe we have all opinions back by the end of this month.
Yeah,
and
it could be
in the hands of the GNSO by mid next month.
Right. Well, what we could do is, I'm looking at the schedule now. The meeting that follows the meeting on the 22nd is on October 6th.
Oh.
Council does have another meeting before it meets in Dakar. And now the motion and documents due deadline for that meeting is the 28th of September.
Yeah, that's tight even now, right?
Yeah, what we really ought to do then is, I think we do need to give Stefan a heads up that we're at this point and that we're ready to send these to the stakeholder groups and constituencies and see if he has any issue with that. I really don't think he will.
Okay, and who's Stefan again? I'm sorry.
Stefan von Gelder is the chair of the GNSO Council.
Okay.
And since it was the council that asked...
Sorry. I'm new.
asked us to do this, we kind of need to check back with him, I think. Olga, correct me if I'm wrong, but just...
No, that's okay. That's okay.
And so we can check back with him and say, you know, we're ready to send this around to the stakeholder groups and constituencies and ask for their comments. I think we should ask for their comments in advance of September 28th to see if we could actually then have a motion ready for the council to approve the charter on the 6th. What does everybody think?
Yeah, I agree. Do we think we can get comments back, though? I mean, I've only been involved on the... On the registry stakeholder group for a couple of months, and that group meets every other Wednesday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that. Yep.
And I've already seen how long it takes to get things through it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we can target it. And again, I'm only speaking for the registry stakeholder group. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't make it for the 6th, though.
Well, the motions and documents due for the council meeting in Dakar is the 18th of October.
Okay.
So that would be our next milestone.
Julie, Roy, may I? I think that, yes, we can target this. In my experience of the 40 years in the GNSO, this takes time. And I have the impression, maybe, I hope I'm wrong, that this document may have comments from different stakeholders and constituencies. So they may come and they may not say, hey, we love it. They may say, but I would like to make some changes or suggestions. That may happen.
Right. That's what I'm anticipating.
Yeah, Olga, I think you're right. I think we should expect that there will be... that we will
and
get.
That's okay. I mean, what can we do if they want to suggest
something?
No, and
we want comments.
This is why we're sending it.
Exactly right. So given that, I would suggest that we give ourselves more time and build in time for us to be able to assimilate the comments and then present a revised version for the council to consider in Dakar. That would mean perhaps...
Yes.
Out the document now to the constituencies and stakeholder groups, and I could have Glenn do that via the liaison list, and then we could ask for a 30th of September deadline or something along those lines, or beginning of October, and that would still give us time to... and prepare a motion for the 18th of October.
So this is why my suggestion was adding some language in just having Dakar there. Maybe we can make it. You never know. But perhaps in the case that we don't, it should be done in the next ICANN meeting after the charter is approved and blah, blah.
Right. I think I'll add in that language. And I see that Debbie's joined us, by the way. Hi, Debbie.
Yes, hi. I'm
hi,
here.
Debbie.
Hi.
And was that Carlos? Were you trying to say something?
No, I have no comments. It's all good for me.
Okay, good.
Okay.
So Debbie, we were, I don't know when you just joined, but we were discussing, this is Julie, by the way, we were discussing the sort of the timing because we do want to get this out to the constituencies and stakeholder groups to review and then allow time to incorporate their comments.
Right.
And then, you know, what may happen then is that it would be We changed the timetable to have it ready for the council to approve in Dakar, and we could, you know, and then we, I don't know then that we'd be able to, I guess that's, I think that's a more realistic schedule, in which case, Olga, I'm not sure if we could keep the public forum in Dakar, because we're really looking for the steering committee to organize that, and we wouldn't have a steering committee until after the charter is approved.
Right.
So I think that really it would have to be the following ICANN meeting. That would be the Costa Rica meeting. But we could, you know what else we could do, though, is if we don't want to, you know, that's quite a ways away. So here's a thought, too. There's a couple other vehicles we can use to begin recruitment after the steering committee is established. And one of those is to hold webinars where, you know, we have them at different times so we can, you know, reach different time zones, and you know, we could prepare by having documents translated, so we could have in the intervening period a couple of webinars and then follow up with a full public forum in Costa Rica.
That's a great idea.
Hi, Olga, can I get
excellent idea.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, this is Debbie. I think this is a really realistic time frame, and I think while we all would prefer, you know, to step things up, I think this is more realistic, and that it gives time, you know, and I know the agenda for the council meeting is, like, super huge. So my question, though, that I have for you, Julie, and Olga, because I know you've been through this before, when you put the timelines or the dates in the charter, how does that then get updated? So, like, Would the GNSO Council then be responsible for just updating the date because we have TBDs in there, or how does that work?
Well, this is Julie. So what would normally happen is staff would adjust the charter according
okay.
to the actual date. So for instance, once let's say the council approves it in Dakar, then we change the TBD to that date to reflect, you know, the actuality. And then what I'll do before you with this version of the document is I'll go ahead and change the timeline here to reflect what we've just discussed.
Okay.
And so that will be updated. And what I think I'd like to do is I don't think we need another meeting to go over this, but I'd just feel better if I could go ahead and do one more red line that shows the changes that we've discussed here today, and if I could send it all around to you, and if you could give me your comments, say, by Tuesday or whatever, then and I could draft a what I could do also is draft the message that we could send, we could have Glenn send around to the liaison list, which goes to all the constituencies and stakeholder group chairs, and then, you know, Olga, you know, once we've got the final version, you know, I could draft a little message for you to send to Stefan and just say, this is what we'd like to do. Do you have any objections? I'm sure he won't. And then once we get the go-ahead from him, we could just go ahead and have it released. But I think it would be nice if you could all take one more look at a red line version, if that would be okay with you.
I think that's a very good idea. And just a short interruption. David, thank you very much for your participation the other day in the call and for sharing the meeting. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You have done a great work. Julie, I think I agree with you. And so if we can change the language in this objective too, and to reflect this more loose agenda and have more time, that would be great.
Thank you, Olga. This is Julie. I'll go ahead and do that. And it's just to just quickly go through the rest of the changes in the document. They're pretty much all along the same lines, but on page 3, we also have that same language about the steering
yep.
committee recruiting the members,
mm-hmm.
and I'll adjust that accordingly so that we're not saying that there's a public forum in Dakar, but that there will be web, you know, that there will be at least 2 webinars, and that a public forum will be held in the you know, the ICANN meeting following approval of the charter and the establishment of the steering committee, which really would be Costa Rica. It should be. And then I can change the timeline according to what we've just discussed. One of the other changes we made on page four is we wanted to be clear about the composition of the steering committee and how many members it had. So I went through and counted. You know, we have the chair and the vice chair, and then one representative each from the constituencies and stakeholder groups. So that would be one from registry, one from registrar, one from commercial and business users. And here, Roy, you can see the whole list, so you'll see who all these folks are. Intellectual property interest users, internet service and connection providers constituency, non-commercial users constituency, and not-for-profit operational.
Julie?
Yes, please.
What happens if there are more constituencies in the future? The charter should be changed.
By the time that are yes. Let me adjust the language.
Why don't we add some language here that these constituencies and perhaps blah blah more in the future?
Maybe I will. That's a very, very good idea. Let me go ahead and each of the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, and then I could add the last one would be representative from any newly formed constituency.
Okay, that makes things easier in the future.
Rob, that's a good point. Go ahead. Is that Carlos?
Yes, I saw a mistake in the charter in page 3.
Mm-hmm, yes.
At the end, in the second line, at the end, completion date is 2012.
Oh, I see. 11. It should be 12, right?
Yes.
Yes. I see it too. 15 January 2011, but it should be 15 January 2012. And I think all of those dates will now change too, because we're changing the timeline some, but I'll make sure to check to make sure the end dates are correct. Thank you for catching that, Carlos.
No, it's okay.
So, and then on to page 5, we talked about whether or not we needed to state a limit to the size of the OTF to prevent it from becoming too huge, but we were struggling last week with how to come up with a number because it's a little bit of the chicken and the egg. I mean, we kind of need to see how many people are interested and, volunteer, and it may be that we don't get too many people, in which case, we wouldn't have to put a limit, or we get a lot of really good people, and maybe we don't want to limit. So I tried out some language here, and you can see what you think. Although there is no limit on the size of the OTF, the goal should be to maintain no more members than are necessary to ensure that there is broad participation, that there are volunteers who are willing to provide their time and effort, and that the size does not hinder the ability of the OTF to complete its work in a timely fashion.
I think it's a good language. I think this will be perhaps commented or objected by some constituencies because it's quite vague, but we can try this way.
Well, what do others think? I mean, Debbie, we talked about...
Yeah.
I threw out 50 but the problem is as soon as you throw out a number, they want to know how you came up with it.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
We don't know who the people will be yet, so it's hard.
Yeah, this is Debbie. And, Olga, the concern we had was, how do you set that number? And I'm comfortable having a number as long as we can justify how we created it. And I agree with you, Olga. I think this is language that might cause some consternation amongst the GNSO because they're going to say, what does this mean? I'm happy to consider a number. I just don't know what that number is and then how do we justify and explain why we came at that number.
One thing that I had included as an example was how the MAC is constituted for the Internet Governance Forum, which is about 50 people, different stakeholder groups propose people through their own through their own selection process, and they are from the five continents of the world, and they, it should be diverse in regions and gender and blah, 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 and all that. So that rules, I can bring them from somewhere that should be written, but I think we should keep it this way. But I'm sure that this will be objected by some constituency.
Olga, hi, this is Debbie. So my question is, do you, in IGF, do you say, you know, for each of the regions or for each of the geographic areas, the stakeholder group can pick X number or nominate?
Yes. Well, that's a very long discussion because finally the General Secretary of the United Nations get a list and they select some. So the final selection is done by a very high authority that we cannot that we cannot say no, but, which is different here. This is much more democratic, which is good. But the functioning process is that every continent has its own. For example, Latin America, we have the government. Some places are for the government. Some are for the civil society, some are for the technical community, and some are for the companies.
Business.
So,
yeah.
Business and business, not constituency because they are not there, companies or private sector, I would say. So that would come with like 10 names from Latin America and 10 names from North America and some of from Asia and from Africa, and they have their own replacement process. Some stay forever. There are people that have been there for 6 years, and there are others that have been replaced by their companies or by their governments. And it's a group of about 50 people.
Hmm. So could we set a number by region?
That's the original idea. I remember we put that language in some previous document.
Well, we did include
like five
here.
Or
it's in. We talked about having. We do talk about having representatives from each region, but we don't say how many.
Well, if we think that we can have one from each, say, stakeholder group or constituency or community group, that would be like 6 per region or 7, or please correct me if I'm wrong because I'm talking loud without thinking a lot. The idea is not to make it such a large group that they never get or nobody is doing anything because it's so big or it's very difficult to reach any consensus. So I would say that a nice number would be like 5-6 per region, considering 5 regions.
Okay, so, and the 5 regions would be just the 5 geographical regions.
Well, then we could use the principles that the geo-regions is I'm in that group as well, and so we are finishing right now the final document, so we can use that as a reference.
Okay. Could you send me where that is? I could look at that.
I'll look. It's still, I think we will present in Dakar the last version. I will send it to you right now.
Just so that I use the right language for the regions. Because what
exactly,
I could send is put in whatever, 6 per region or some 5 or 6 per region, and that would bring us up to, that plus the steering committee would bring us up there, right? Let's see. Well, 5, if there's, there's 5 regions, right? If we did 5 times 6, that's 30, and then plus the steering committee, which is 12, brings us up to 42.
So that, yeah, my original idea was up to 50, no more than that.
Yeah, 5 times, if we did 7 per region, and then plus the 12 in the steering committee, that gets us 47. So that gives us right up to about 50.
Yep.
Maybe that's what we should put in here and see. It is less vague. I'm not a big fan of vagueness either, and I think I hate to put something in there that we know is going to be, you know, a subject. You know.
It will be. So this is why I'm telling you it will be.
Let me put
I'm
in,
just sending
why
you.
I want to have you guys take one more look at this. Let me put in that we'll have 7 you know, that there will be 7 representatives selected from each region for a total of whatever I just said, 35.
Julie, I just sent you the draft doc, all the draft documents of the geo regions. They are still under our revision, and it will they will be presented in Dakar as a final version.
Good. So yeah, I'll just take the language for the different regions.
Exactly.
Great.
Hi, this is Debbie, and I think it's also important for us not to limit the number, because if, as Olga said, there's additional constituencies, we don't want that cap to, you know, be prohibitive.
Right.
Because, you know, now the more that I'm thinking about it, you know, we should say, you know, these representatives plus, you know, blank amount per each region, you know, with the goal of, you know, it being a group that's workable, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. That sounds good. I'll take a stab at that, and you can see what you think about the language. And so then bottom of page 5 is just the same recruitment language, which I will I just got the document, Olga, thank you, which I'll adjust according to our conversation. And then bottom of page 6 was just the further explanation of what the steering committee would be, and I'll add in that extra line about any additionally, you know, newly formed, you know, any additional constituencies that are formed. And that was all of the changes in the document.
Okay.
And Roy had said that he's happy to review the next version. He had to drop off.
Yeah, he had to leave. Yeah.
That's great. So this is Julie. What I propose then is that I produce a red line. I will go ahead and send it around to all of you. I would even like to suggest that with people's schedules and so on, why don't we give it until next Friday? I don't think we'll need a meeting, but if I could have comments by next Friday. But in the meantime, Olga, I'll prepare a little note for you to send to Stefan, letting
sure.
him know
Thank
that we
so
are nearly completed with the document, and asking him if he thought it was okay if we just went ahead and sent it to the constituencies and stakeholder groups. And then and I'll also send for all of you to review the note that we can have Glenn send to that list.
Great. I suggest the following. We are not too many. Once we get the acknowledgement of each of us that we read it and we are okay, say we're Debbie, Carlos, Roy, and I think we are, maybe Tony, he wants to say something. We are not too many. Once we have, we can have the deadline for next Friday, but maybe we can have that before, and if we have it before, we send it to Stefan.
Right, right. And I think we can go ahead and have you send the note to Stefan right away.
Yes.
Know that we're almost done with it,
okay.
And just saying, you know,
okay.
As soon as it's complete, you know, we would like to go ahead and send it to the stakeholder groups and constituencies. I think he'll say yes, so we won't have to wait for him. My only difficulty will be that from Tuesday morning through to Thursday afternoon, I will be tied up all day in meetings with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. They have their retreat next week, which I'm organizing and running, so I don't know how much time I'll have. Maybe I'll have some time in the margins if we're ready to have this sent to the constituencies. But it might not be too hard, because I might be able to do it then before Friday, because if I can get the note off to you today that Glenn could include with the charter, and if you guys are all okay with the note and with this latest version of the charter, then all I really need to do is send that message to Glenn to have her send out.
Okay. Which is the deadline for submitting documents for the next call? It's 12 of September, right?
Right, but I...
Which is next month...
The constituencies won't have... I mean, we wouldn't have time to have...
No, you're right. But, I mean, sending to the constituencies, at least let's try to send it before the 12th. If they don't have the time, well, that's okay.
I think the plan is to send it before the 12th.
Yeah, that's the idea. And then they will take their time. Considering the experience we had with this document before, it will be long.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Remember, Debbie?
Yeah, well, Julia as
well. It took some time for them to accept this. I don't know why, but it happened.
Yeah, I think outreach is a little bit of a sensitive subject. I think that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, for some constituencies, but let's do it.
And then one other thing I want to let you all know about is that within ICANN, ICANN is starting up an internal group to look at overall ICANN outreach, and not just GNSO, but outreach efforts in general. And I've been invited to participate in that group. I've had to miss a couple of their startup meetings, but I've let them know that this, you know, that we're drafting this charter, and they've seen the charter. I think that this is going to be good because the GNSO outreach effort is a subset of overall outreach at ICANN, and one of the goals of the outreach task force is to make sure we're not duplicating efforts. So I think this will be a good opportunity to coordinate with whatever other outreach plans ICANN may be formulating.
Julie, who is coordinating that?
Kurt Pritz.
But it's a staff effort, or it's a constituency stakeholder?
Right now, it's a staff effort. I think it has more to do with the communications aspect of what ICANN is doing, and that you know, having consistent messages, you know, making sure that within ICANN we're not duplicating outreach efforts, you know, that we're, you know, looking at the things that are working and doing more of that, and maybe not doing the things that aren't working. I think just trying to get a sense of you know, to kind of coordinate outreach efforts. I mean, think very similar to what the thrust is behind this group, which is to look at what all the different constituencies and stakeholder groups are doing, you know, and coordinate. But this ICANN effort is just an internal effort, and it's not aimed at the GNSO. I think it's aimed more at communications that are used for outreach. But I can't say for certain because I haven't been able to join any of their meetings yet, so...
But it's good that you have that in mind, and that the staff know this document and this effort. So we don't.
I think that's the most important thing, is that they know that we're doing this work, and I mainly want them to be aware of this effort. I mean, they know about it, but you know, because it's specific to the GNSO, not everybody on ICANN staff focuses on what the GNSO is doing.
Okay.
So. Anyway, that's all I have, and I think I have all the action items right now until I get some documents out to you.
Okay, fantastic. Any other comments?
Nope, thanks.
I want to thank all of you again for all the support and all the hard work. And so we are not meeting next Friday, right?
That's right. We're not meeting, but we will have a document deadline Friday or earlier.
So this may be my last. Because I'm leaving GNSO in a month and a half, and this is my last call for working groups and all that I have been done for so many years. So I want to thank especially Julie and all my council members, friends of ours like Debbie, Carlos, and all of that, them which are not in the call now, but just for the record. And I'm very proud of being part of this group for 4 years, and perhaps this is my last working call. So
oh,
thank
my
you,
goodness.
Thank Debbie,
oh, no.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah. Thank you, Carlos.
If I'd known, we'd have done a party for
you. Thank you, Olga.
Olga.
Okay, that would be great.
It's a pleasure to work with you, Olga. It really is.
Olga, I must say, thank you so much for your leadership and for your mentoring. And I must also say, too, my term as an appointed counselor ends in Dakar. And unless I'm elected by my stakeholder group, this may be my last as well. But I will certainly continue to follow what this group is doing and try to join this outreach committee if it all launches and submit my name to be one of those representatives, hopefully.
Oh, that would be great, and I would like to do the same. I would like to get involved with GNSO after I finish. So thank you very much. It's been really interesting and a pleasure working with you, and thank you for all your effort.
Thank you, you Olga.
No, it's okay. I enjoy it very much, and I have learned so much from all of you.
Well, thank you very much, Olga, and thanks to everyone. I think that on that note, we'll adjourn our meeting, and I want to wish everybody a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and also a very nice weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Everyone, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.